So, do you think that would be a good idea for the sake of those who were here as well as the sake of those who were not here, both? What we were working on is this portion of Scripture devoted to the United Kingdom, the Divided Kingdom, and Judah alone, which is 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. And remember, I told you about how to remember that. Remember it a little bit at the time. And so you start out by isolating which books are involved. So you tell me now which books are involved in this. 1 and 2 Samuel. All right. Now then, remember the periods of history involved that are covered in these three. United Kingdom, Divided Kingdom, Judah alone. Okay, now then, the next thing we do is we remember the kings that are involved in this United Kingdom portion of it. And they are... That's right. Okay, so let's start over here now with 1 Samuel. And as we look at the book of 1 Samuel itself, remember what three men does the book of 1 Samuel, just isolate 1 Samuel without any regard to the other books, what three men does 1 Samuel tell about? That's right. And you see, you named it in the right order. But what is the point about memorizing or learning it in the order? What's the point I made to you about learning it in order? Well, the point is that you could learn them. Well, you going to tell me? All right. The thing is, you could learn them in three just isolated, random, you know. Let me see. It's Solomon, Saul, and David. Well, that's all three of them. But if I'm going to learn them, then what? Learn them in order, in sequence, because then I will know what order the history flows. See that? So I just like to remind you of things to do and then the reasons. Because if you have the reasons as well, then you will not only do this way, but you'll get into the habit of learning things in that manner. And you'll remember them more easily, more better, and more easily. All right, so the three men that we learn about in 1 Samuel are Samuel, Saul, and David. Okay. So we go out here then to chapter 8 through 31. And as we get to 31, what is the event recorded in 31? 1 Samuel 31. The death of Saul. So as we begin the account then in 1 Chronicles, the first nine chapters of 1 Chronicles are what? Their genealogy. Do you remember why I said that there was a logical reason to think there would be a place here for a genealogy? What would all these genealogies be necessary for this time? That's right. That's right. And if Ezra was the one that put this together, Ezra was one who was involved in the return, in the second return. And so he was helping to put this together, and these genealogies were necessary for the tribes, as well as the Levites in particular, and the priests, and things like that. So after you get past those nine chapters, then we come here to chapter 10. And chapter 10 in 1 Chronicles is about what? Saul's death, see? So we have, you see the parallel there? That's where the parallel actually begins, with the death of Saul. Now, as you think about the conclusions from that, to consider, what would you not find in 1 Chronicles then? Samuel. And the life of Saul, and what else? And, all right, and David's early life. See that? Because if 1 Samuel is about Samuel, Saul, and David, And 1 Chronicles doesn't include anything of 1 Samuel except the last chapter. Then it would leave out most everything about Samuel, Saul, and David. That's right. Okay, so this is where the parallel begins. And remember, this is the only section of Scripture in the whole Bible. I mean, not Bible, the whole Old Testament, where you have parallels involved. All right, so as the parallel then continues, we go into 2 Samuel. And as we go into 2 Samuel, of course, since Saul is dead, Samuel died sometime before that, the main character that was introduced in 1 Samuel continues on into 2 Samuel, and that is David. All right, so we have David as we go from chapter 1 through 24, and the main thing in 2 Samuel 1 through 24 is the reign of David. That's right. All right, the reign of David. Now, meanwhile, down here, we go ahead with chapter, we can go on out here, make the numbers parallel, 11 through 29, 1 Chronicles. 10 is where it picks up the parallel. And then 11 through 29, what is it going to be about also? See, that's the reign of David. So, 1 Chronicles and 2 Samuel, that's the reign of David. All right, then we get here and we go into 1 Kings. And as we go into 1 Kings, we're going to encounter David's son, and that is Solomon. So 1 Kings 1 through 11, and this is the reign of Solomon. Okay, meanwhile, we get down here in the parallel account, and we go to what book? All right, we go to 2 Chronicles. And we go how many chapters? That's right, very good. The first 9 chapters. There we go again. See our parallel? So in 1 Kings 1 through 11, and in 2 Chronicles 1 through 9, we have the reign of Solomon. Now, at this point, our next chapter is going to be... how about that for being able to count? All right, so we have 12. Because, see, I was already... I mean, how about that? We'll say that. So down here, we go to the next chapter, which is 10. Of course, I'm going to pull it back now and start over here. But what is going to begin now with 12... in 1 Kings, and 10 in 2 Chronicles? The divided kingdom. See that? All right, so let's go ahead and... we'll go ahead and put 1 Kings. All right, so that'll be 12. And then we'll go ahead and put 2 Chronicles. So that's 2 Chronicles 10. So here we are, beginning with the divided kingdom. Now remember as you looked up in your Bibles, where do we go now to come to the end of the divided kingdom, which is the captivity of Israel? I heard somebody say it. I need more. 2 Kings 17. That's right. All right, so 1 Kings 12 through 2 Kings 17. So this is the divided kingdom. And meanwhile, 2 Chronicles 10, now we made the point that in 2 Chronicles, the division between the divided kingdom and Judah alone is not as clearly marked. So do you remember what chapter we estimated was the last chapter in the divided kingdom in 2 Chronicles? Yeah, 29. So we'll go over here through, just put 29, 2 Chronicles 29. All right, now that we've come this far, what's the next period over here going to be? See that? It's going to be Judah alone. So to find out what that's going to be, we go 2 Kings 18 through the end of 2 Kings, which is 25. So 18 through 25, there is Judah alone. And over here, we come now to 30 through 36, and that likewise is Judah alone. So I'll just go ahead and put it right here. So, there you are. So we just reviewed this again just so that you would have a chance to see that. And then you need to just think that over. And remember my little thing, I often tell you, this is not the last time we're going to look at this. So if you don't have it all down now, don't worry about it. However, you do need to realize that you will never learn it by putting the book under your pillow and just sleeping on it. You won't ever do it that way. You do need to review. And you do need to do a little reading. And you know what? One of the things that I learned many years ago when I was trying to learn something that was involved, I would just get me a blank sheet of paper and I would write it all out. And so if you do that, get you a piece of paper and just write it all out. That's an excellent way for you to be able to review yourself. Because if you're reviewing by trying to look at a sheet with it all printed on there, you can't really know how much of it you're getting from memory and how much of it you're reading off the sheet. So if you will read it and study it, then try to get you a blank sheet of paper and write the things down. And then you can learn it. And you can learn virtually anything like that. Very complex things you can learn like that. All right, so let me erase all of this off the board now. But I'm not doing it so that we can have some unpleasant ordeal of having you to remember it all. But rather because I have some other things now I want us to consider. All right, now as you consider the life of Saul, just consider the life of Saul. Do you remember that the first thing we learn about Saul, the first time we meet Saul, he is out hunting for something. The lost donkeys of his father. So on that occasion, he meets Samuel, and Samuel has been looking for him, has been told by God he was going to meet him. So he meets Saul, and he anoints Saul and sends Saul back home. And then there is a meeting of all Israel, and all Israel comes together, and Saul is there. But at first, Saul is not in evidence. Where is Saul? Does anyone remember that story? He's hiding in the baggage. Now, he was comparable to 6'8 today. So it was a little hard for him to not stand out. So he was hiding because he was shy or humble or scared or something. But he is anointed. And then the first thing that really happens in his reign is the Ammonites are invading and threatening the city of Jabesh-Gilead, which is on the east side of the Jordan. And he leads Israel out there and heroically defeats the men of the Ammonites. He defeats them. And then the next story is of his facing a threat from the Philistines, and he comes together with Israel, has them come to meet him at Gilgal, and they go there, and he's supposed to wait for Samuel. And what do you remember about that? He doesn't wait until Samuel gets there, and he goes ahead and offers the sacrifice. And so then Samuel does come and rebukes him because of that. And then they have that battle in which he had made that ridiculous oath that nobody should eat. Now, you probably have not had a great deal of experience fighting hand-to-hand combat all day long. I haven't either. But if you were to do that, you'd find it was one of the most absolutely exhausting things you ever did if you lived. Because there would be periods of running and then periods of intense fighting and everything. So it would be no time before you would really be needing sustenance. And without it, you'd faint. So remember that story? And this is when Jonathan finds some honey in the woods and eats the honey without knowing about the oath. And then they come together and they cast lots and discover that, hey, the problem here is Jonathan and Saul on one side and all Israel on the other side. So that pretty well narrows it down, doesn't it? It's got to be Jonathan or Saul. And it turns out to be Jonathan. And Saul, well, okay, you got to die then. And all Israel says, no way. No, he is not going to die. And then the story is about his being sent to kill the Amalekites, to bring the judgment of God upon the Amalekites who attacked the Israelites when they came out of Egypt in the Exodus. And do you remember that? Now, I know even if you have never studied that story, you have bound to have heard preachers use that as an illustration over and over again. He killed everybody but what? But Agag. Agag is an easy name to remember, isn't it? Because you think about gagging. Agag. So he killed everybody but Agag and killed all the animals except the best of the herds and flocks, with the idea we're going to sacrifice them. Boy, if God had thought of that, I know he would have told us to do it if he had thought of that. And we thought of it, so that's what we decided to do. Instead of what God said, we're going to really give him some nice sacrifices. Well, how did God feel about that? To obey is better than to sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That's very good. So at this point, he says, because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you. Now, as you think about those stories right there, was that really very many stories? We meet him hunting for his father's donkeys. We see him anointed by Samuel. We see him then anointed at a public gathering of Israel. We see him defeating the Ammonites. And then we see him in that prolonged battle that went on with the Philistines involving the not eating food and stuff like that. And then the Amalekites. So, you know, that's not much. Simple. I have often found that sometimes when you don't really know what a thing is, you imagine how difficult it is. Have you ever done that? Oh, how difficult that is. Remember, Sandra, the time we heard about that woman that was supposed to teach about, wasn't it, Joseph? And she said she guessed there must be 100 chapters. She guessed there must be 100 chapters about that. Well, that meant she had never once looked. Never once looked. Because anybody knows there'd be too many chapters there. So she had never once looked. So, when you do look, then it's not that bad. But now there's a change, because in chapter 16, we meet David. Remember that Samuel was sent to anoint David? Do you all remember that? And remember the story that he went to Jesse's house, and Jesse started bringing his sons out, and he brought number one, and oh, wow, this is bound to be it. No, that's not it. And 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... Well, is this all your sons? Well, no, there's one more. He's out keeping the sheep. And you guess who that was? That was David. So they brought David in, and David was anointed as a lad. And then the very next story we have about David is the slingshot, the Goliath, killing Goliath. That's right. And then David begins to serve Saul as a lieutenant of his, taking men under his command and going out and fighting the Philistines. And then he winds up marrying the daughter of Saul, Michal. And then Saul grows in his jealousy, his insane jealousy, and he's going to try to kill David and throws the spear at him and stuff like that. So David flees from him and begins to run out away from Saul. And so he goes from one place to the other, running from Saul. And you have stories like Saul coming into the cave, and David and his men were hiding in the cave. David slipped up and cut a piece of his robe off so that he could come out and say, look, I could have killed you. All this talk you're hearing about my being your enemy is false, because I could have killed you, see? And then another occasion, when Saul and his men were in camp nearby, David and Abishai sneaked down into the camp in the night, slipped right up to where Saul was sleeping with his men around him, picked up his spear and a bottle of water, and took those things away, got far enough away that he could call and say, "Hey, Abner!" Because Abner was like he was the general captain of Saul's host, but he also served kind of like his personal bodyguard there. And so David said, "Hey, you're worthy of death, Abner. You let somebody come right up to Saul. And look, where's his spear? Where's his bottle of water?" You can just imagine the horrified glances that they're gone. That means David was right there over Saul. He could have just killed him to make the point that I'm not your enemy. And so finally, David then has to flee the country, and he goes over to the Philistines. And he lives over among the Philistines. Now, do you all remember the story that what he did while he was among the Philistines was that he would go out and he would strike one of the Bedouin or nomadic camps that would habitually, periodically raid the children of Israel, southern Judah there, and he'd kill them. He'd wipe them out. So there was nobody left to carry word to Achish, the king of Gath, about what David was doing. So Achish felt like David was just being his faithful servant, and he was getting rid of all the Philistine enemies, when what he was doing was getting rid of all the Judah enemies. You all remember hearing about any of that? And then there was a battle that shaped up between David and, or between the Israelites, Saul and the Israelites, and the Philistines. And David was going to go up with the Philistines, although I'm convinced he wouldn't have fought with them, but he would have gotten up there in the midst of the battle. I'm sure he would have turned against them. Well, the Philistines pretty well had that idea too, and they said, "No, he's not going with us. No way. Achish, he's not going with us." Because this is the one that they said, he's Saul slew his thousands, but David is 10,000. And how better for him to get himself back in good with them, with the Israelites, than to fall upon us in battle. So he couldn't go. And when he got back to Ziklag, where Achish had given him the place to live, he found out it had been raided by some Amalekite nomads. And so he took off after them, rescued them. Meanwhile, the Philistine battle was going on, in which Saul and his sons were killed. Now, where does that bring us to in our study of the Scripture? What have I just narrated? 1 Samuel 31, that's right. See, that's brought us now to 1 Samuel 31. So as we go on into 2 Samuel now and 1 Chronicles, we're looking at the reign of David. And the reign of David is really not much more complicated. It's just has some more chapters devoted to it. But as you start out looking at 2 Samuel, you have David receiving word that Saul and his sons have been killed. And there is the Amalekite guy I know that Saul is dead because I came upon him and I killed him for you. I know you'll be happy to hear that. I killed him for you. And I brought this stuff. Well, to his surprise, did David appreciate his having killed Saul for him? No, because David himself would not lift a finger against Saul, because he said he is the anointed of God. And if God wants him taken away, I will let God do it, not I. So he had the Amalekite put to death. And then there's a period of civil war between David and Ish-bosheth, who is the remaining son of Saul. You ever heard of Ish-bosheth? Okay, some of you have heard of Ish-bosheth. He was the remaining son of Saul. And he and David had civil war for a while. It might be better to say that Abner and David had civil war, because Ish-bosheth was not a very effective ruler. And Abner just propped him up. So Abner kept up the battle for a while until finally... Well, one of the things that Abner did in the first actual conflict between his men and David's men, they met together and they began what was going to be a ritual combat, and it just turned out to be a general war. And during the process, as Abner was running away from the battle, he was being pursued by a man named Asahel, who was one of these guys, very fleet of foot, but he wasn't sure what he was going to do with the tiger when he caught him. And so he was chasing Abner, and Abner was saying, "Is that you, Asahel? Why don't you turn aside and go after one of these other young men? Go after somebody else. Don't come after me. I hate to kill you." Because there was no doubt whatever in Abner's mind that Asahel would not at all be able to deal with him. And Asahel would not listen. He would not listen. He kept on. And so as they're running along, I take it from what I've read, it just sort of sounds to me like that when Asahel got up close enough, all Abner had to do was suddenly stop and thrust back with the point of the butt end of his spear, and he just killed him, just as easy as pie. Didn't even break a sweat except what he already had from running. But it was just no problem at all. Well, that did it so far as Joab was concerned. Abner signed his death warrant right then with Joab. So, they were brothers. That's right. Asahel was brother to Joab and Abishai. So later on, Abner decides he's going to take liberties with Ishbosheth's concubine, who was Saul's concubine. And Ishbosheth says, "How can you do that?" And Ishbosheth said, Abner said, "What am I, a dog's head? You think you can talk to me like that? Why, I've been propping up this whole kingdom, and you talk to me like that? God do so to me and more also, if I don't just turn this kingdom over to David." And Ishbosheth couldn't say anything because he might get killed. So there was nothing he could say. So Abner went to David and made arrangements to turn the kingdom over to him. And they had a real nice parley together. And then Abner headed home. And about that time, Joab comes whirling in. And he is told, "Abner has been here." "Abner, where is he?" "He's gone. David has sent him away." "What?" And he goes in there to David, and he just reads David the riot act. Joab is a nephew to David. That explains how he could take liberties with David that he did. He said, he's sort of like, "Who do you think you are? What do you think Abner's here for? You think he's wanting to make peace? Why, Abner is here to find out your weakness and everything like that. I don't understand how in the world you do this." Well, you know, that's not the real good way to talk to a king, but because he was his nephew, he got away with it. And he went out and sent word after Abner that something had come up, he needed to come back. So Abner came back, and Joab went up and said, Hey, Abner, how's it going? Come on back here with me for a minute. I need to talk with you about something." Took him back there and just killed him. He didn't come out and say, "Abner, I'm here to avenge my brother. Draw your sword, and let's have at it." "No, I might get killed." Now, I don't think it would have worked for Abner to be the new general because he had been Saul's general, and that probably wouldn't have worked out the best. And I think that Abner himself was a very ambitious man. So far as that was concerned, that's the thing about a lot of Joab's decisions. A lot of his decisions were probably the best. The way he went about it was sneaky, usually. But usually the end result was probably politically the best. Now, Sandra, I did pretty good there. Yeah, I don't like Joab at all. Sandra kind of likes him. But anyway, so then the kingdom with Ishbosheth, it's down. Yeah, I mean, it's falling. There's no way. He's such an ineffective guy. He's not going to be able to keep the kingdom going. And so while he's asleep on his bed, two brave men come in and kill him. And they take his head to David to prove he was dead. That's usually an excellent way to do it, isn't it? So he got there, and yeah, he's dead. And David says, you know, a man came in here thinking that I would give him a reward for telling me that he killed Saul. And now you've killed an innocent man on his bed in his sleep, and you think I'm going to give you a reward? And so he had them executed for killing Ishbosheth. So then the tribes came together to David, and they appointed him king over the whole land. He had ruled in Hebron for 7.5 years, and now he reigned over the whole land. And as time went along, the Lord gave him victory over all the nations round about, and things were going really well. And then Nahash, king of the Ammonites, died. Now, whether this was the Nahash that Saul had faced many years before, now dying as an old man, we're not sure. It could have been, just as far as the time is concerned, it could have been. And we don't know what might have happened, but we do know that Nahash was very kind to David. So David was sorrowful to learn about his death. So he decided to send some servants, some messengers, over to tell his son Hanan about, how sorry I am that your father has died. He was good to me, and so on. And so the servants came over there to where Hanan was, and Hanan's advisor says, hey, don't think that David is sending those guys over here just out of the goodness of his heart. They're sending them over here to spy the area out, and they're here to just find out all kinds of information so they can bring you down. Don't you think he's trying to actually be a friend? So Hanan listened, and so he had the servants taken, and they shaved half their beard off like this, left the other half, just as a humiliation. Just make them look silly. And they also cut their garments off just below the buttocks. Again, just to make them look silly. And sent them back to David like that. Well, they traveled back as far as the Jordan. And they sent word from there back to David. And David said, have them wait at Jericho until their beards are grown out. David was concerned. He didn't want his men humiliated. Meanwhile, he says, now, I'm going to show Hanan that he doesn't humiliate my servants. And so, as the Bible says, the Ammonites perceived that they stank in the eyes of David. Another one of those expressions about stinking in the eyes of. They stank in the eyes of David, so they began to get ready. And so David went out, and boy, I mean, he just wiped out. Everybody that wants to help the Ammonites, come on in and I'll whip you too. And he beat the Syrians up to the river, and he beat the Syrians beyond the river, and after that, the Syrians didn't want to help anymore. And so now he had everything narrowed down to the Ammonites in and around the city itself, so he just laid siege to it. So now everything's under control. Everything's under control. So he just stays in Jerusalem, decides to take it easy for a while. And you all remember the next story. What is that? David and Bathsheba. And the whole story of David and Bathsheba. And then the killing of Uriah. And then the visit of Nathan. Remember the visit of Nathan the prophet to David? And he comes and tells him about the two men that had the sheep. The poor man, the rich man. And then he says, you are the man. And the baby dies. Ammon, the city of Rabbath Ammon is taken. And of course, David's made a mess. He's just made a mess of his life here. Such a good man, such a wonderful man, and boy, had he made a mess of his life. And he had made such a mess of his life that he was paralyzed now to deal with his own children. David is a very decisive, powerful, straight-thinking man. Before this. After this, he's not. And so there's the story of Amnon, who assaults his own sister, brings her in a very conniving situation where he can get her in his power. And then he's killed by his brother Absalom. Then Absalom has gone out of the country for a while, in exile. David, finally Joab manipulates it so that David has him brought back. And then Absalom begins to stir up the people and he prepares for a revolt. He leads a rebellion. And in the rebellion, he is killed. In the battle that ensues, he is killed. And then there's another rebellion, a short-lived one, led by a man named Sheba. And I know it's always weird for us to think of a man named Sheba, but this was just a different language. And so, yeah, he was Sheba. And so then after that, you come to the end of David's life. And as you go into 1 Kings, you have David, a very old man, on his deathbed. You have yet another attempt at a rebellion by another son, Adonijah. And so David overthrows that Nathan the prophet comes up to Bathsheba and he says, "Did you know that Adonijah is proclaiming himself king? I thought David was going to make Solomon king." "Well, I thought he was too." "Well, you better get something done right quick. Here, you go in and you ask David, 'I thought you were going to make my son Solomon king, and while you're talking to them about that, I'll come in.'" So she goes in there to David and says, "Oh, king, I thought you were going to make Solomon king." "Well, I was." "Well, Adonijah's down there making himself king." And Nathan comes in at that time and says, "Oh, king, I thought you were going to make Solomon king." In other words, it was prepared to really make an impression on the old guy. The old guy was 70. But he had a lot of mileage on him. And so he had Solomon publicly proclaimed king. And as soon as the conspirators heard all of the shouting and the yelling and the blowing of trumpets, the meeting kind of broke up. Adonijah took off. Abiathar, who had been a priest, who had been with David from the time of David's early rebellion, he had taken part in it. And guess who? Joab had taken part in it also. So these guys all took off, and so Solomon then becomes king. And you know, when you read about the life of Solomon, it's really amazing how little there really is just as far as major things. In fact, the major thing that's described about the life of Solomon is what? He built the temple. In both accounts, he built the temple. And so there was the preparation for it and the building of it. Like you take in 1 Kings, listen, you got 1 Kings 5, he's preparing to build the temple. In 6 and 7, the temple is built. In 8, you have the prayer of dedication at the temple. And 9, you have God's response. Now look at that. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all occupied with the temple. See that? Now chapter 3, after the rebellion is kind of put down, then we have some little glimpses of the wisdom of Solomon. What would you do? These two ladies, shall we say, ladies, they came in and they were both prostitutes. They had had babies. Do you remember now the story that I'm about to tell? So in the night, one of them had rolled over and smothered her baby. So she swapped her dead baby for the other woman's living baby. And when they woke up, then she was claiming, no, this is my baby. That's your baby. That dead one, that's your baby. So they come before Solomon. And you know, Solomon, how's he going to tell which one is which? Well, he can't really. So what he does is decide, I'm going to put it with the one that loves it best. How am I going to find that out? Well, bring me a sword. Now, kill the baby. Now, he didn't tell them what he was going to do or what he was doing. All right, cut the baby in half and give half to her and half to her. And the mother that didn't care, that was not really the baby's mother, said, that'll be good, because she just mainly wanted to get out of this now and not get caught. But the one that was the real mother said, no, give it to her, don't kill it. And he said, give it to her. She's the real mother. And all Israel marveled at the wisdom of Solomon. And then chapter 4 tells us about his greatness and how much his people that he supported at his in his palace and all that stuff, how much they ate every day. And then 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then 10, the Queen of Sheba. And then 11, his idolatry. And also the predictions about the coming division of the kingdom. And that's it. Now, do you all see that what I've done here is I've kind of given you a little trip through the United Kingdom, just reminding you of the chief stories that are in there. And do you see there aren't really all that many of them? When you really get down to it, there are not all that many of them. And so then that brings us to the divided kingdom. And maybe in the next 3 minutes I can do that one. Not really. Not really. I doubt if I will even try to do that with the divided kingdom. It depends on how I feel. I have done that before. I have taken a session, not 3 minutes, but I have taken a session about an hour and just give a tour through. But I don't know if I'll do that or not. I may not do that. We'll see. But anyway, this is a survey that we've had of the United Kingdom. And remember that this would be in 1 Samuel, the kingdom itself, the United Kingdom. 1 Samuel 8 through 1 Kings 11 and 2 Chronicles 10 through, 1 Chronicles 10 through 2 Chronicles 9. So that's the portion that we have reviewed tonight. Okay?